Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast, number 332. I'm whispering because I'm in my room at South by Southwest. It's very late at night. It's almost 2 in the morning, Central Time. I just came back from an event that we produced with Cirque du Soleil, which was incredible. We did a panel with the Cirque creative director and some of the folks, one of the performers, and a bunch of people who work on Cirque du Soleil, the various productions. We did a panel, and then we shot some stuff. And then this, if you've ever heard of the Divine Fits, you should. They're kind of a super band made up of Brit from Spoon and guys from Handsome Furs and Wolf Parade, and so then the Divine Fits played, and then Cirque did like a 30-minute performance where they just pulled stuff from other Cirque shows and mashed them together just for South by Southwest, and it was unbelievable. There were three guys standing on shoulders, and then a guy did a backflip and became the fourth guy on this person tower. Oh my god, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. Anyway, South by Southwest, amazing. Going to Grand Rapids, Michigan to do the podcast live in a couple days for Gilda's Laugh Fest. So check out Nerdist.com/calendar because we or I will probably be coming to a city near you. This episode is sponsored by Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is out in stores. In stores like Target. And Target is the thing that Lara Croft might shoot at. If you go for a limited time, that connection didn't work at all. Anyway, it's available now. You can finally buy it. So if you, from what they have limited supplies, you can get the special edition that includes collectible steelbook and a shantytown multiplayer map. It's Tomb Raider for Xbox, and it's kind of a reboot of the franchise. I mean, we've been talking about this for a little while when Camilla Luddington was on, who plays Lara Croft. She's just grungier. She's a little more relatable. So there and tons of different kinds of gameplay. With the new Tomb Raider, there's the survival, stealth mode, melee, range combat, exploration. So there will definitely be something to satisfy your game playing appetites in the new Tomb Raider, which is out right now. I thank them for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which is our buddy Ben Schwartz, who is a UCB guy, who is has written on a ton of things and acted in a bunch of stuff. He was in The Other Guys. Now he's on House of Lies with Don Cheadle. Cheadle! But Ben's just a super great guy and really just fun to hang out. He's just a good, likable guy who's hilarious. So here you go. And there's podcast episode number 332. We all got in a room for this one. I'm not suggesting that we don't want to get in the room other times. Matt and Jonah and I always want to do the podcast together, but sometimes circumstances prevent that from happening. This time, however, we were able to do it, and it was a blast. Getting together with the old gang who's still the current gang, the Nerdist Podcast number 332, with Ben Schwartz.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Right outside the door, there should be.
There's one. You can spin it. Right. Oh,
thanks, spin it from across the room.
Oh, nice shot.
Thanks, guys.
Ben Schwartz.
Thank you so
much. All right,
much.
I'm recording now. We were just talking about the. Ben, you said to Matt Myroff, sorry about Attack of the Show. And we were like, oh no, the whole network went away.
It wasn't just a show.
Yeah. I mean, the show was basically The show was basically the band in Titanic.
Yeah, you really did a number on us, Ben.
It was just a tiny piece of a bigger ship that was going down. I had no idea. I thought it was flourishing.
The show was fine, and then you hosted a couple episodes, and they were like, that's it.
1 week, and then they said that's it.
It wasn't, Ben. It was Horatio saying.
Why is everybody blaming Horatio?
Okay, I'll blame myself.
Because he was hosting when we got the
act. Is that true?
Yeah.
What a weird day that must have been.
For him.
We were telling him, like, on Monday, we're like, you know we're getting canceled, right?
Oh, I remember when I was doing it, someone big from the network was coming down to check it out. And everybody was like, hey, some guy from whatever is coming down, and he really liked it. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then 2 weeks later,
that was Adam.
I really like this. President. I really like what you're doing. Which is why it's so hard to.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Let's go. It's a shame we have to do this.
It's a real shame. That I say it out loud, I really don't feel that bad about it.
No.
Well, in a way, you're not gone. They're going to, I think they bought Parks and Rec to rerun on the.
Oh, perfect. Great.
Yeah. They did?
Once every couple months, I'll get a 5 cent check.
Ooh, that 5 cent check.
Yeah, Parks and Rec Party Down's going to be on.
That's actually huge.
It's that's great.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a great new network.
I'm not lying.
Those are some bold programming choices.
What else has Adam Scott done that's going to be on this network?
Okay.
They're putting on very watchable programming, weirdly. I don't know what their new shows are going to be like, but the shows that they're rerunning, besides Knight Rider, obviously.
The Aviator? They're going to show The Aviator?
I hope so.
Co-starring Adam Scott?
I tell you, I'd fucking watch it, but I have DirecTV, so I can't watch that either.
You won't even get it.
No, I won't even get it.
That would be funny, though, that if, like, when it became Esquire, I just went on back on DirecTV.
You know, stranger things have happened.
Kind of plan.
Yeah.
Do you love DirecTV?
I'm digging it.
I do enjoy DirecTV.
Everybody has DirecTV?
Yeah.
And I do enjoy the Watch Live. On their app, you can watch live TV on the app.
Also, I love Watch What Happens Live. I love watching it on DirecTV.
Yeah,
it just feels better for some reason.
Anything with live and watching.
I just love Andy Cohen and Satellite.
You'll look at your watch for a good hour and a half. Just look down at your watch for a good hour and a half.
Watch What Happens Live.
Ben Schwartz.
Hey, guys.
From House of Lies. Were you guys mad that another House of show is out now? God damn it, House of Cards.
By the way, I was. I kind of was. I was because someone said someone will confuse our name. Not pissed, but now a lot of people say they like House of Cards as well. But I have this weird part of me that's like, I don't want to watch it because it has the first two things of ours.
And alphabetically, they fall before you guys.
Is your show's title a reference to that Simpsons episode where Lisa goes to the dentist and is like, how often do you brush? Why must you turn my house of dentistry into a house of lies?
Yes. I think that's probably how they name the
probably.
Show. Do you get angry when you drive by the House of Pies?
I do, by the way. And by the way, have you ever been to the Real House of Pies where it's just a house that looks like a cherry pie?
No, but
no,
I'm
what? Where's this?
It's not a real thing.
But, why would you
have you ever gone to West Hollywood and got a house of guys?
You can't just fucking throw a house-shaped pie into me.
I know, I apologize.
It would murder him.
I apologize. Mean.
Simpsons, I watch an episode of Simpsons every night before I go to sleep.
Yeah, where did you keep up?
No, anytime they release a DVD, I purchase it. I have every DVD that Simpsons have ever released. And I'll watch it as I go to sleep because I've seen every episode so many times. Mm-hmm. That I find if I watch something when I go to sleep that I haven't seen before, I can't go to sleep.
I'm the same way. I talk about this all the time. It's like if I've seen something a million times, I can go to sleep to it.
That's
because
exactly
you close
correct.
Your eyes and then you just imagine what you would be seeing.
And it's also comforting.
Yeah, it's very comforting.
It makes me feel like it's time for bed. I'll go to my bed, bring my laptop.
That's basically your mom singing lullabies is The Simpsons. Like a familiar voice. Yeah. That is just sort of.
Well, my mom was Nancy Cartwright, so it was like exactly.
Oh, totally worked out for you.
It's the same exact.
Do you do Kenny movies or just The Simpsons?
Just The Simpsons.
Yeah, and just like you're like.
I literally start
9 or 10.
I go through it episode by episode from the first episode. But if there's some, you know, I'll sometimes skip the horrors ones, the Treehouse of Horrors ones, because it scares me a little bit.
It scares you?
Well, just like because it gets my heart beat up a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
The music's very.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's very intense. But
somehow, in the midst of all the flesh eating, we forgot the love. Will you tell your mom, by the way, that she was great in Twilight Zone, the movie?
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate that.
She knows. I don't have to tell her. She knows.
She always knows.
That Ion Springfield Tumblr. Real good stuff.
Which one is this?
Ion Springfield. Do you
There's
know
a
that
bunch
one?
Of them. Yeah,
Ion Springfield
one.
Is like
you play that game, that iPad game, where it's like touching Springfield?
No, I tried to get into it. Then it just seemed like running a bunch of errands.
It's
that's what it
huge,
felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm playing it, but it's
most
a lot
video
of work.
Games are really just running a bunch of errands.
It is.
It's running a bunch of errands. As a wizard, but you're still in Skyrim, I'm just running errands.
Yeah.
But even games like that where there's no end, like Farmville or this type of game, there's no end. So after a while, you're like, what am I still doing? How am I still doing this?
It's kind of just life.
I'm not
life.
Even trying to achieve something.
It's just life, then.
Yeah, it's literally like,
what am I doing? Why do I?
Like Plants vs. Zombies, I loved Plants vs. Zombies. And then they released an upgrade where when you finish the game and you finish all the extra games, now you have a Zen garden to take care of. And so you're just on there gardening. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm not even fighting zombies with plants. I'm just watering plants and playing the music.
Which you don't even do in real life. You should water plants in real life.
Plants in my house, way dead.
Dead. And the zombies in your house, unsatisfied.
Yeah. They're also dead. They're just animated dead.
Yeah.
Let's, for a quick sec, Ben Schwartz, let's just talk about the fact that I did not expect Matt Myra to be here because he was just in Toronto and Chicago.
What were you doing there?
Yeah, I got back yesterday. I did Chicago. I did shows with Doug Benson.
Ooh.
And Rory Scovel.
Did you do I Love movies?
We did a Douglas movie.
Did you do I Love Muvies, the cat version?
I'll be in the Tournament of Champions, you guys. It worked out very well.
Ooh.
So, and then went to Toronto to visit the set of a brand new BBC America drama, Orphan Black. So that's good.
Meow, meow.
By the way, the actor.
What are you doing on your phone right now?
I'm dealing with a lot of things right now.
Muvies.
I have to leave in a half hour for a conference call.
Hey, man, thanks
with
so
England.
Much for coming down for a couple minutes. That's really polite. What's you really enjoy.
To be fair,
your...
the conference call is probably for the show that we're all doing.
Yeah, it is. I got a conference call with Arthur Darvill.
Oh, nice.
Put him on the air. Patch him in.
Patch him in.
You're Arthur's here, great. Arthur. You're on the line.
Please tell him I said hello.
I have to do it from a cubicle because you have to like sign some paperwork to get your phone in the building to dial out to the international waters.
And to sign that document, you probably have to call the weird call center that's in India and give them all these crazy... Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
So you have to call internationally in order
to
be allowed to
call
internationally.
Internationally and give them all these crazy numbers that you don't know. Yeah. Like these crazy employer
and
identification.
And you have to deal with those people.
Wait, what?
Oh, IT God. People.
Oh,
IT.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, that's what you meant.
Hey, what did you guys think?
Don't
project
like...
your racism on top of me.
Sounds just like a poi muncher to me. Whoa. Wait,
wow.
Oh, who are you talking to?
Oh, who'd you just email?
HR. I contacted
you just
HR.
You emailed HR?
You're all gone.
With seven letters, you told us we're all gone?
I have a shorthand with them because I contact them so much.
Take your best shot, you pig berry and grass skirt.
Oh my God, they're actually coming in. They're coming in right now. They're coming in literally right now.
Yeah, there they are.
Oh my God.
Oh, well.
Thank you, sirs.
Hey, guys, it's a luau. They just come in and throw a luau.
Yeah. Oh.
Ben, where I've been working on it. I've been working on it for a while. How are you shooting House of Lies right now?
I just finished. Okay. I literally just finished 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago. This is my first week off.
Get it straight.
You guys get in season three, right?
I apologize. We got a season three, so we just finished.
What if they're like, sorry, no, season three. We're also a House of Lies.
Oh, no, I would hate that.
Yeah.
And then we got the news in a pie. That you would love it.
Yeah.
It's good. This season is really good. It's really good, I think. And it gets really dark and awesome. Can you guys be honest with me and tell me if anybody here has actually seen the show?
I've seen the show.
Have you seen more than one episode of the show?
I've seen two episodes of the show.
Okay. Which season? This season or last season?
I'm going to say it was the IBC root beer folk that season.
Okay, sure.
Last season?
Chris, have you seen an episode?
I have not seen the episode. I have to be honest with you.
Now, I probably would have if I hadn't bailed on Dexter. I bailed on Dexter.
And that was it for
And
you?
Then it was like Showtime just kind of faded away. And I've been meaning to, even Deanna the other day was saying that we need to watch it.
What about
it.
Nurse Jackie?
Oh, really?
You're not watching Nurse Jackie?
I never got into Nurse Jackie.
I haven't seen Nurse Jackie. Is it good?
I haven't seen it.
I've been hearing great things about Enlightened.
I saw half a season of it, but it sort of felt like...
Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie sort of felt like Lady House. In a way. I'm not saying that it was.
Okay.
But it was like... You know, she has a I mean, she's not like solving crimes. It's more of a soap opera in this. I mean, it was fucking.
House never solved crimes, by the way.
What?
House never
solved
crimes.
Didn't House go into
they solved
crimes.
Medical crimes.
Crimes of health.
They weren't medical crimes.
They
Who committed these medical crimes.
The nature.
Well, it was always a guy wearing a mask.
It was House versus nature.
House versus nature is a great idea for a show.
It's a really great idea.
Houses are just against nature.
In a weird way, yeah. They're fighting nature so nature doesn't kill
you. Exactly. That's why you have to make them look like a pie.
Lisa Edelstein from House just did two episodes of our show.
She's great.
Oh. She is great and beautiful.
But so she's doing the House circuit then.
She's doing the House. Next she's doing House of Cards.
Yeah.
And then she's literally just going to live in a house.
House himself was really a house of lies with his Vicodin addiction.
That's true.
There you go.
But I also think, you know, Nurse Jackie was a beautifully acted show, and I thought it was really cool, but just halfway through, I just kind of... I mean, you know, there are so many great things to watch now. Mm-hmm. We're in this crazy renaissance of entertainment. And I just feel like I have difficulty keeping up with everything that I'm supposed to be watching.
I agree. I find myself getting overwhelmed by my DVR. It almost becomes homework to me when I see so many things in my DVR and I have to figure out which I'm going to erase to leave more room for something else.
Well, you know, when you're younger, you kind of just, I'll just watch stuff because I'm just watching stuff. And then when you get older, I feel like there's a little bit of an emotional investment. You're like, okay, can I emotionally invest in whatever the arcs of the story are? And just like, it's the reason that I have not watched The Wire yet, because I know that it's going to completely...
Same with me. I haven't seen an episode of it.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's going to completely absorb my life, and I don't know if I'm emotionally ready for that at this point.
I was watching, I was catching up on Deadwood.
And like, Kristen I was Bell's watching that, didn't she? Did she do an episode of that?
Yeah, she did. I think two or three episodes of it where she's great in it. And like, it's like I was watching it, and it was because I was sick, and then I got better, and then I slowed down. And now I don't know if I can emotionally just like jump back into it. Like it's like skipping out in the gym for a while. You're like, oh, it's been so long. It's
really is. There's an emotional gym. It's like what you know, like getting into a new show is sort of like, start doing squats.
Yeah,
it's a lot, especially if everybody. I just watched Breaking Bad. The same thing. I have to get sick in order to watch a TV series. And I watched Breaking Bad because if it's on Netflix Instant also, that's the easiest way to get me to watch something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if it's on like iTunes, some of that. And so I started watching that. But I was consuming so much so quickly that it was almost too much. It was almost too much.
That's how I watched the first three seasons of Breaking Bad. And, it really affects you. Like it kind of messes you up because you're watching a whole bunch of them, all these people being horrible. And then you go out into the world. And then like the whole time I was watching it, I told Deanna that I would wait for her to get off of work so we could watch it together.
Right.
But I was like, well, I'll just watch one episode. No big deal. And then I was like, fuck, I got to watch another episode.
Yeah.
And
it's then like drugs.
Yeah. And then she'd be like, what'd you do today? I'd be like, I just kind of wrote. And this is it. I kind of did my, like, well, I was watching the show and lying to her the entire time.
Yeah.
I was Walter White on a very low scale.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm really not sure those two things are comparable.
Well, let's break it down for a second.
Please.
Walter is doing something that he thinks is okay because he's convinced himself that it is.
Sure.
But he's lying.
Yeah, but he's
lying. Wait, what's going on?
Calling HR.
But
he's convinced, he's initially convinced that he's doing it for his family.
Yes.
You were not doing it for Deanna's sake.
Yes, I was. I wanted to make sure it was good enough for her.
But
it's good enough for her, it's good enough for
everyone. So you're like the guy who eats the king's dinner to make sure it's not poisoned?
This is great.
Yeah.
No, I get it. You can get that job. Come on. Anybody can. Throw your name in the hat. But in the end, basically.
Throw your name in the crown.
With all this means is that maybe we should watch one episode of House of Lies, right?
Yes.
We'll definitely watch it now.
You will enjoy it. This season especially, I think, is so fun.
I will say this for the record. The two episodes of House of Lies I did watch were great, and it's not like I watched them months ago. I watched it like...
Whoa. Who are you calling?
Duly noted.
It was like two weeks ago.
For the record.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you watch another one?
My girlfriend watches it.
I'm telling you, it's a really fun show, but I don't think a lot of people have like got hooked on it yet. And I'm hoping that this is the season that happens.
Listen, I heard that Don's not yapping at the camera anymore. Is that true?
He doesn't do it as much. Right. He doesn't. In the first season, they had talk to the cameras like Zach Morris type stuff, but not about the stuff that Zach Morris talked about.
And he didn't do a timeout?
He didn't do a timeout. But now he references the nerdiest thing about it, if you watch the show, is that all of our characters are severely flawed in some way. And we lie to everybody because that's what our job is. Our job is to get the job and stuff like that. And the only time that Don ever tells the truth is when he looks into the camera and he talks because he's explaining it to the audience or we don't know who he's explaining to, but that's what it is. So that device is still used when he wants to have an aside with us. He'll look in the camera, say something, but before he used to explain what the business world was like that, and now it's not in it as much.
That was like the first season of Sex and the City they did that. There were
Someone
a lot of confessionals and like just random people would talk to the camera. Like, I feel that blah, 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 because I think it was built more around
I'm
the fact
that...
I'm
not going to lie. When that device is used well, I enjoy it. So I liked it.
There's a difference between when it actually works well and drives a story or when you're like, they had to add that later because no one... I mean, I'm not saying that's the...
No. I know
what you're talking
about.
But you know what I'm talking about.
VO in films is used a lot.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, there's a character you never heard of before.
Yeah.
I did a movie that... it was called Peep World, and it was a movie that didn't have voiceover in it. And then by the time we were done, Lewis Black had been hired to play like the narrator of the movie. Yeah.
Ted Peep World.
But like that's what happened in Sleepwalk with Me. Like Birbiglia.
I like that movie.
I liked it a lot too. But like he did go back and put in all that stuff of him in the car. Like,
that's
narrating,
which is great. I mean, I think for a movie that is a stand-up's point of view, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely. I like that movie. I think it's very funny.
I liked it a lot.
How is Don Cheadle, show. By the way? Is he He's the most delightful man
extraordinary
in the world?
And like amazing with his family and at work. You know, when you're like the number one guy on the call sheet, if you act a certain way, everybody, it all goes down. We all act the same way. And he's so respectful of the crew, of the writers, and treats everybody so well. And I know everybody says on the show, but we're like, we love each other. The four of us spend every day, literally every day for 3.5 months together. And so we really get close and stuff like that.
And then you brought him into doing, and you've done that a lot with your show, Snowpants.
Yeah, man.
You bring these like actors in to do like comedy improv.
Yeah. So Cheadle has done. So Snowpants is a show. I came up from the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, which all of a sudden, did you hear all the hoopla about
the payments?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Stupidest thing. This guy,
Kurt Metzger, in New York, complained that like you know the stand-up show at UCB East didn't pay any of the comics, and it was a whole.
It became something that was small in the UCB East. There's two theaters in New York.
Yeah, the East one.
Yeah, and then somehow got big enough where there's a New York Times article about it.
Yeah, well, it's because of all these.
Yesterday.
It's all these comedy blogs, you know, you get like, and they're all great, but like Split Cider, Laugh Spin, you know, even like the AV Club kind
of. I love
those
guys, actually.
Yeah, they're all Split Cider guys are great.
Been very kind to me, yeah.
Yeah, but like the thing is, it's like they'll report on it, and then everyone starts reporting on it, so it seems bigger and more important than it really is.
Interesting.
When it really is just some guy, some comic in New York complaining.
Yeah.
I've never, by the way, in my years, you know, I did shows at the UCB starting in like 2007, and I've never heard anyone ever complain about not getting paid.
I've been doing it for 10 years. I started July 21st, 2003, right after I graduated college, and then it's funny. I don't know. I'm a very pro UCB guy. Now we won't get into the debate because it's so long. But like, I came out of college and to get classes because I didn't have that much money, I interned for free classes. Mm-hmm. And then they took care of me and I became a bartender to make some more money. And then I worked for the touring company, booking the touring company. So like, they always took care of me and stuff like that. So I could not be more of a pro UCB guy.
DC Pearson has the same story. Like, you know,
yeah,
like
him it's and
like,
I went through similar paths.
Yeah, exactly.
He was
bartending
after me.
And yeah,
yeah.
Back to Snowpants.
Oh, so Snowpants is a show I do at UCB Theater. And what it is I get people that have been doing it for a long time. So it's me and it's usually, I get Horatio Sands a lot and a guy named Thomas Middleditch.
Thomas Middleditch, who's great. He just got cast in that Mike Judge thing.
He did.
Oh, cool.
HBO show.
Yeah, along with Kumail and DJ.
Yes. And then I pair them with people who've never done improv before. And it started off as people that I just wanted to play with. And then the more I got people that were in TV and movies, the easier it was to get those people because they just want to have, like, it's a place where, first of all, you don't know whoever's going to be there. You never know who's going to be there. So, like, there's no pressure or anything like that. And when you get out there, I surround them with the most supportive improvisers in the world. So they can say the most ludicrous thing. And my hope is that we will support them to make it look like a genius thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody's had a good time. But Cheadle has done it. Helen Hunt has done it. J.J. Abrams has done it. Michael C. Hall has done it. Adam
Kristen
McKay.
Bell.
Kristen Bell. Yeah.
Adam McKay did improv? Now tell me, how did he
improv.
Do?
He was extraordinary.
Oh, what?
How was Michael C. Hall? I know you're friends with Michael C. Hall.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He was in Peep World. He was great. Rashida Jones, all like, it's crazy. And then people love it afterwards. Like, afterwards, they want to do it again because... How often do those guys get to perform live comedy ever?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And some of them, like, be coming up as actors, must have been trained somewhat in improv.
Yeah.
Because all those people are the types of people that probably went to school for
Or
that,
the
so.
Idea of just playing a scene truthfully and knowing that one of us will get to a game or something like that.
Yeah.
But that show has, for me, when I was coming up as an intern, I remember I'd intern on Sundays and then sometimes Saturdays at New York Theater, and I'd always be wowed that, like, I'd see, like, Paul Scheer come down, Rob Hubel, and they'd walk in at the last second. And the crowd would be packed. Every week, they'd be sold out. And me, like, I could never get anybody in my shows at the beginning. So it was so cool to me then as an intern that, like, these guys who I really respected, now I have a show that, like, it sells out in 4 minutes online. And it's, like, this big, cool thing. And it's cool. It's become a really cool thing.
That's a good
Shitty
show.
Jobs and
Shitty Jobs
hot,
is a great show,
hot, hot Pants, Hot Sauce. Those
did you... Now, did you pay J.J. Abrams to do the show?
Yeah, J.J. got $20,000 to do it. J.J. got $20,000. Right. By the way, J.J. had the best... J.J. loved it so much. He loved it so much, and he said he would do it anytime. And I think he had so much... But of course he did, right? He's like... You know, he used to act in things, and he's so creative that...
Are you going to have time to improv when you're directing Star Wars?
Oh, my goodness. What do you think about that?
I love it. I think it's a great
idea. I love it so much. I love it so much.
Give him all sci-fi. Like,
well,
here's the thing.
Here's the thing. I would love to see... I'm excited to see JJ do one. I would love to see Guillermo do one.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, because...
Was that a name on the table?
No, I don't think so. But just watching Guillermo's, like, creature work.
Yeah.
Like, would be rad. Like, in a Star Wars world, I think Guillermo would be really cool.
Well, I don't know. Are they three in a row, or now they're all going to be different characters?
Well, there's going to be...
They're doing, like, the X-Men thing, right?
Well, from what I understand, there's going to be a trilogy, and then there are also going to be side movies as well.
Okay, so...
I think are going to explore more of, like, the expanded universe.
Are you excited that they're making more films, or are you terrified?
Of course I am. No, I'm not terrified at all. I'm not... And because
why would you be bummed out about them making more of that thing you like?
Yeah, because
you just hope for the
because
best.
Here's the thing: you have guys like JJ who their whole lives have been Star Wars fans.
He's a huge Star
probably
Wars fan.
Saying, "Oh my God, if I ever got the chance, this is what I would do." So you're actually going to get fan made Star Wars films from really great directors, which I don't. There's no downside. You know, like, there's just no, I don't see a downside.
I can't wait. And he's so good at characters. He's so brilliant in characters that, and also he gets to play with the characters that he idolized. I mean, they I don't know if it's true, but in, like, you know, Nikki Fink, whatever website, they say that Harrison Ford might be coming back to do something, and, like, Hamill might be, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, I never thought that would happen.
No, I have no idea how it happens either.
Yeah.
But
maybe because, do you think it's because they like JJ? Do you think that's why?
I have no idea. I do hope that, although I bet, would John Williams do the score? Would they get, like, Michael, who's done Up and all the Star Trek stuff?
Yeah. Michael Bublé.
Giacchino, who I think is a genius, by the way.
Yeah.
I wonder what the score becomes like and stuff like that. Yeah. I would be excited to see what he does with it, very much so.
I do want to say someone got a lot of money to write the theme song from Lost, which was just...
Yes.
That's it. It was basically just like one chord that they flanged it up.
It was also like the title, like the Lost coming at you. Like that's like a preset on like a title sequence program.
Is that true?
Yeah,
it was like the final cut.
That graphics guy's spot, man.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh, that was you.
It was me. I worked on that really
the
hard.
The theme song of that guy was the same guy who did the things in between Law and Order. Was just That's it, same dude.
Yeah, I made $20 million.
Oh, cool, man. Hey, man, we need something really cool for this new show, man.
Okay, how about this?
Too much. Can you make it smaller and two notes?
No, too long.
Too long?
Yeah. It
has snappier, I guess.
Oh, goddamn.
That's there great. Thank you so much for coming.
No, I was just angry.
We'll use that. It's weird, by the way.
You really nailed it. Let's give you a raise.
What happened?
Every time he slams his fist on the thing,
it trips one of the players. It's okay.
Every time he slams his hand, a podcast recording gets its death.
I'm very, very excited. I think JJ is one of the most... I think he's extraordinary. He's not even human. He's so good at so many things. It's crazy. We once played we did some little thing together, and we were playing a game where I play this game sometimes where someone says a title, you say a title of a movie, and then I make up a fake pitch for whatever that movie is. And so I played it with JJ, and so like someone said a title, like, you know, a really stupid title, and I thought of some movie, and he laughed. And then I was like, all right, Jay, this is for you. And I gave him a title, and then he stops for 10 seconds. And then he pitches the most beautiful movie with three acts and character arcs and surprises. And like, and then he's done. It was crazy. Yeah.
Was there a
That's the movie Fart Castle? How did you come up?
Possible?
Fart Castle. It's beautiful.
Fart Castle, Castle of Farts.
Yeah. Fart Castle, colon, Castle of Farts.
Was there any small part of you during your pitch that was like, oh man, be real awesome if you bought this pitch?
Yeah, my whole thing. It was like a whole new, I pitched a whole new Star Wars movie. It worked.
Just off of his looks. And there's this guy, a girl. It's a girl. And,
it's a girl. And she's single, married. She's married with two kids.
She had kids, and they
died.
Went away.
They escaped. They escaped to a different dimension. Country.
County. Keeping it local.
Timeline.
Different timeline. And it was so funny. He did it, and then he's like, "Yeah," and I'm like, "You're an asshole. Get out of it." That was amazing. But he really, his mind
looks like
works
he has
on
fun
level.
Too in those things. I've seen the pictures of like Snowpants where he's on it, like you guys are doing
he
like
had
a car
a blast.
Thing, and he's just as animated as like these like seasoned comedic.
I'm gonna bring him back. He's gonna do another one, and I think I'll do some shorts with him sometime or something like that. But I think he is.
It's funny, like we're so impressed, like he's not a person and wouldn't love comedy. You know, because when someone
he's
gets
a
to
nerd, he's like
when,
us.
Of course he is. When someone gets to a certain level, you're just like, oh, they don't have fun anymore.
Oh, he had a nothing made me happier than seeing him.
You don't have fun anymore.
No, I don't. But
when was the last time you really had fun? When was the last time you're like, oh my god, this is so? Why don't I do this anymore? That's a great question. When was the last time you said?
I'll tell you last time I saw it. But go ahead.
Basically, I just want to cut to us now with some sort of a whistly, like, upbeat song, or we're just driving across country, looking for...
We're all having fun snapping our fingers. You're just on your phone working.
Guys, come on, keep it down.
The last time I saw you genuinely let loose and have fun, it seemed, with, like, no pretenses.
My birthday?
Was your birthday.
What did you do on your birthday?
We had a bowling karaoke party.
Oh, that's amazing. And I'm assuming dancing, those are two Chris, of your favorite things.
Yeah, they were. Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Chris was dancing, running around. I hadn't seen him that excited in so long.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask Chris, like, what is he good at besides the comedy and hosting television, I guess he would probably say bowling and singing. So that's why he enjoyed those things.
I don't know if I would say, I don't know if I'd be like, well, I'm good at comedy. I don't have a problem saying I'm good at bowling because that's an indisputable fact.
What's your average? Let's hear it.
That confidence.
I want to hear. Give me stats. What do we average when we go to the bowling alley?
I average 200, 205.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. What's the highest you've ever had?
289.
Whoa. When did you lose it?
When I was 11.
What? Were there bumpers?
No.
Were there bumpers?
No.
289 when you were 11 is...
I'm very good.
He was a junior professional. His dad's a professional
bowler. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, so do you have the glove and everything?
No, I don't. I did wear a glove for a while, but I don't anymore.
When I was in college, I bowled quite a bit, and I loved it so much.
It's great.
Yeah. Me and all my friends would go there.
Maybe we should do a House of Lies bowling. We do a celebrity bowling show on the YouTube channel.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get those guys to do something.
So far, we've had the Mad Men guys, Breaking Bad guys, Mythbusters, Doctor Who, Conan.
We could do a little
Walking Dead. We could do a little House of Lies.
Yeah, hell yeah. I think we'd probably get competitive somehow.
I feel like Cheadle's a good bowler.
Cheadle is good at everything.
He just seems coordinated and athletic.
He is so good at everything we do, he's good at it.
Like if you...
Singing, dancing.
If you dropped him off a second story, he'd land on his feet.
Yeah. And then coolly walk away.
Moonwalk.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah, Let's talk about
people we hate.
Oh, mostly everybody else that we haven't mentioned yet.
Everybody made the same face. Yeah. It was like this weird, someone had just farted thing.
Oh, if this wasn't recording, we'd have a field day.
I hate Mussolini.
Oh, this
internet
is
trolls.
This is
the
too
lady
generic.
Who cut me off in traffic and then looked at me like I did something.
Yeah,
say something real,
fault.
Chris. For once in your fucking life, say something real.
No,
I fucking hate you.
Oh, there it is.
That moment. Why'd you get hard after that, Jonah? Jonah got rock hard.
It's what I need.
It's what it takes. Is it weird that people pass by and look at you guys every time?
No.
You're so used to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's fun.
Yeah, that we have this weird recurring thing now where this happened 4 times where Joel McHale will walk by and just pound his fist on the glass and flip us off.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's happened, I think.
And Gene Simmons will walk by.
Gene Simmons walked
just
by yesterday.
Not even paying attention. Like he doesn't even know us.
Yeah, like it's so, by the way, that's so cool
Gene.
Of him.
It's so
He just
Gene.
Doesn't want to bother you. That's
no.
so cool.
Yeah,
of him.
It's like real respectful.
What if Gene Simmons, like, really cliched, walked by, spit blood out, then did an awesome bass solo and kept walking?
Air bass solo, though.
No, he always has his bass on his back.
Yeah, my assumption would be.
The great thing about being in the lobby here, though, is that people do walk by, and then sometimes we're actually able to pull them in.
Oh, really?
Just as sort of surprise guests.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
It's
or
fun.
When E is or Style Network's doing some casting.
That's silly. I was just in that room. It's all beautiful models. These women come in and they're gorgeous.
And even sometimes, though, even if it's like they're hiring PAs, they still come in looking the exact same.
Oh, really?
It's funny seeing like girls like just in these high heels and these expensive dresses and their hair all done.
Oh, you're here for a casting? No internship.
Yeah, they're just bringing it. They're like walking like Baja Fish across the street.
Yeah, like 30 cups of Starbucks stacked. Yeah.
But looking really good.
He definitely has an aesthetic that if you work there.
They also all knocked up. They know that you can easily get onto camera if you're just working in production.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you working on so you're done with House of Lies now? Or are you about to start doing
it? Done with House of Lies. I have a episode of Parks and Rec in the can that I think is coming out very soon. There's a girl. Pretty soon. And then anytime I see a girl pass by that's cute, I'm going to say there's a girl. Is that fine?
Yeah.
And anytime there's a girl that I don't think would be nice, I'll be like, oh, man,
well, when
there's
Steve,
a girl.
When Steve, when Steve Jones was on, in any part of the conversation that he was in, they'd walk by and then he would just stop and like give him a head.
That's a bird.
Oh, yeah. No.
And then we would just go, he still got it.
Yeah. Our new thing is when Josh and I were on, Josh plays Doug Guggenheim on our show. Anytime we wanted to sound as douchey as possible, we changed all of our bros to bras.
Yeah.
You know, all right, brah. It's the worst.
It's really awful.
Finish House of Lies. I'm writing a script for Universal called No Hearts Club. I owe a draft on that, so I'm going to do that. And then What else? And I get to audition for movies. The cool thing about doing a Showtime show is we just filmed for 3.5 months. Then I can choose what I want to do with the other time and hopefully hope that someone casts me in something cool.
Hey, J.J. Abrams, let's play a game. What movie of yours do you think I'd be best in?
All right, ready? I'll go first.
Star Wars.
My first pilot that went to series was called Undercovers, and he directed that. And that's how him and I became friends. That whole company, Bad Robot, is just like
it's awesome.
It's Willy Wonka. Huh? It's a playland. Yeah.
Those offices.
We
are
went
amazing.
There. We went there to podcast him, and it's like you just want to start putting your hands on everything.
And he he wants you. He has a room. There's only musical instruments. And he has. He's
all the Twilight Zone shit.
Oh yeah. My goodness! It's a pretty cool. It's a pretty cool thing.
And that room he won't let you in without the Twilight shit.
And how he doesn't let you in the front door, like weird, of anything.
You know, Ben was also a former member of the Super Deluxe Posse.
Oh, that's true. Were you?
Yes.
I saw Daniel Weidenfeld yesterday while I was
I hang out with that guy all the time.
I love him.
He's a sweet guy. Yeah.
Sweet dude.
And Mike Furman and I did a series there called CPBS, which was basically the idea was that if country music television had a public broadcasting channel.
Oh, that's funny.
And so we basically wrote all these like educational country songs. And so that's really
that.
I had
so we
a blast.
Did 4 episodes of that, and then Super Deluxe went away.
Yeah, but he had a great series. I just want to say that.
Please.
Last time we were at Mike's place, I told you how much I liked it, which I never got to before. But it was it was basically a show based on the Washington Generals.
Yep.
The team that always loses to
the Globetrotters.
To the Globetrotters.
Yeah, and it's taken very seriously. Like they can't understand why they can't win. And the coach, Rob Riggle played the coach, and he's like.
Pants
the man put a trampoline on the ground, jumped off it, and wasn't called for a traveling violation. And he plays it very straight. I wanted to turn that into, when I first moved here, I wanted to turn that into a movie, but they're already making Semi-Pro. And also nobody cared about any of my ideas. At the beginning, they listen to your ideas and pretend they care, but they don't.
No.
It took a long
time.
That was
on Attack, I got to, they brought me a real Washington Generals uniform.
Really?
Yeah, and then we did a thing with the Harlem Globetrotters where they came
That's
in during
awesome.
A gadget prime.
That's great.
And then they took the laptop and slam dunked the laptop and shattered
That's
it.
Great.
I still want to make that into a movie. I still have an idea about how to make
it
that into a
so
movie.
It was so well
I did five
done.
Episodes of it.
Yeah.
Bobby Moynihan was on
he was
it.
The
Rob
guy in the
Riggle.
Wheelchair, right?
Do they live anywhere now or do they just go away with Super Deluxe? Do they move to
No, they moved.
See, I don't know who owns it and stuff like that. I mean,
Turner,
I can change it to anything.
Turner owns Super
I
Deluxe.
I think we get them back after 5 years from the last time
true?
We submitted a video. I think.
Well,
That's
it's
I
been
remember.
More than 5 years, hasn't it?
It has to have been.
Yeah.
It's like 2007 or 8.
Years old.
It was 07. Yeah,
I went from that
smell
to writing
deal
on.
Getting made.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you guys.
Yeah, because I want to. Because like we ended up just taking all our Freelers guys
Fire
stuff
sale.
Off and putting it on.
Yeah.
Funny or Die.
I went from that, and then I got a job writing for Robot Chicken after that, out here, and then it took me a little bit, and then I moved here. I was very hesitant to move here.
What?
Because I'm scared. Like, you know.
Oh,
so,
buddy.
New York's a lot scarier than Los Angeles.
But New York, my family was there. My best friends were there. Here
I
was
find
like,
New York less scary than Los Angeles.
Really?
This is bullshit. I gotta go.
Oh, man.
I really have to go.
Okay. Tell all the Dava we said hello.
I will.
Make that TV show amazing.
He is. I find New York less scary than Los Angeles because Los Angeles is very easy to get lost. There's no real rhyme or reason for how the streets or neighborhoods work. There are a lot of shitty parts where, you know, New York, you can just, wherever you are, you're always like at least, you know, maybe only a block or two away from something awesome.
Right.
Even, you know, even if it's a shitty part of it, you're like, oh, well, a block away, there's a bunch of restaurants.
Man.
New York is pretty extraordinary.
And I never feel weird walking around. Like, I feel weird like walking to my car in Los Angeles late at night. I like you could walk 20 blocks in New York at 3 o'clock in the morning and you feel like, nah, this is fine.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting. I was very, I didn't want to come here without a job.
Mugged, I guess.
I was afraid of being here without a job and then spinning my wheels for quite a bit. So I waited till I had something, then I moved here.
Are you a pretty, pretty upbeat guy, Ben?
Upbeat?
Yeah.
Like happy?
Pretty positive, happy guy?
I am very, I try to be as positive as possible. Try to be.
How hard do you have to try?
God, I don't know. I guess really, really hard. I'm so sad.
Let's make you really aware of it so you get all in your head about it.
Well, I always try, like, I don't know. It's always about trying to, like, hope the best for everybody. My parents always instilled that in me. They're still alive. My parents still do instill that in me.
You're 18, Ben. We're done instilling anything.
No! Go to Los Angeles, idiot.
Get out.
Get out of New York.
We're going to push you out of the second story. You better land on your feet like Don Cheadle.
You guys consider you can, you have to consider yourself a positive person. We'll get to you, Jonah, later. But Chris, you seem like a very positive. Every time I've talked to you, or every time I've seen you do something, you seem so excited and happy that you're doing that thing.
You know, that's very true. It's funny. Daytime me is very positive and upbeat, and nighttime me just processes everything.
Crankums.
I do get a little cranky at night, and so I think that's where I kind of get the, oh, what I'm doing is dumb. But I just know that, like, well, tomorrow morning I'll wake up and I'll feel fine. And, yeah. I think both sides of me are honest. In the daytime, I am very positive and upbeat and happy, and I'm excited about making stuff and working with people that I like and making cool things.
Sure.
But then at night, sometimes I just feel a little overwhelmed, like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I feel
100% understand. There's also a thing in me where if I'm working, like I just did House of Lies every day for whatever, and then when I'm done and I have some time for myself, I get very anxious
because
I have no, like, it's your days were so scheduled and everything was, you know, like you had to be working, and then you're not working for a little bit and you don't know how to fill your days. And also when you're working, when you come back, you haven't been able to talk to all your friends for all those times. So now it's like, it's such a weird.
It's sort of like being on a time off when you have that kind of schedule, sort of like, you're on like a bullet train, and in the bullet train is a pool party, and you're just constantly going, you're playing your cons, and all of a sudden one day the train just stops and they're like, get out.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't even know where I am. We're like, doesn't matter, you gotta get out. And then you're just, then the train just goes, and then you're just kind of standing there. Yeah.
It's a weird feeling.
You know where you are.
Well, then, like, it's like, you know, if, like, you're like, well, I was so busy, I'll just take the time and be kind of, like, lazy. Like, I'll just try to take this week and watch TV and stuff like that. And then you, like, feel bad for doing that. You're like, oh, God, I'm so lazy.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, what am I doing? I got to get busy.
It's hard to enjoy. Like, I'll go to the movies and then feel like I'm wasting time. I feel like, oh, I could be writing now. If you're someone who's, and by the way, none of us are complaining. We're super excited to be working, obviously.
Yes.
But so it's not that. But it's like, when you're creating, when you watch a movie or you find yourself doing something. When I go on vacation, the first 2 days of it, I never go on it, but if I did, the first couple days of it are me worrying about, oh man, am I missing something? I should be writing, should be thinking of ideas right now. Like, I work so hard to get to where I am for free.
Yeah.
Now that I'm getting a tiny bit of money for it and can kind of support myself, am I blowing it? Like,
well, the answer is yes, you're always missing stuff.
It's true.
But that's okay. It's not gonna, it's very rare. That you would miss the thing. It was like, oh, that was supposed to be the thing that I missed. That. Like, that's very rare.
Yeah, the way I think about it is just that, you know, that impulse you have in your early 20s and you're going out and you don't want to miss anything. And you're like, it's like, I got to go to that party or that club or that thing, that bar. And then when people are there, they just keep on drinking or partying throughout the night. And the thing you got to realize is like, you know, it'll get dark again tomorrow. There will be another opportunity to do this if we want to.
No!
We can drink during the day.
Yeah, that's the best kind of drinking.
I remember those days. Yeah.
Oh,
you
goodness.
Would just keep drinking, though. You wouldn't take the nap.
Did you drink quite a bit?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a drinking problem?
Yes.
He's sober.
I didn't know that. Are you totally sober now?
10 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Let's have a drink.
Oh, yay! That's a great idea. I proved I could do it.
Yeah.
No.
As long as you proved it to yourself.
Yeah, I know the daytime drinking is a bad thing, but the daytime drinking is just because you know, it's sort of that thing where you have these emotions and you don't know how to deal with them, so you just sort of dampen.
Yeah.
And then when you're not doing that, then you kind of have to learn, like, oh, I have to figure out how to sort all this stuff. It's not like stuff was getting sorted before, you just weren't dealing with it.
Right.
So
your nighttime decompressing and thinking about stuff, obviously it would be a darker time than your daytime stuff.
Nighttime's always worse for anxiety. And I don't know if it has to do with...
Because you're by yourself.
Well, or, it probably has to do with brain chemistry and circadian rhythms and hormones that are being... And so, you know, and sort of just processing the... You know, or maybe it's a momentum thing. It's like, go, 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 stop. It's like stopping really short, but then you still kind of have to process all the... So I don't know exactly what it is, but anxiety definitely tends to be worse for people at night or in the middle of the night when you sort of wake up like confused and sweaty and like,
someone else's place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why'd I break in here? It's all coming back to
point?
Me now. Why am I holding this bloody wrench?
Yeah. Why am I wearing someone else's clothes?
And they're when they're a dress.
Yeah. Why am I wearing someone else?
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing. Why am I wearing someone else's skin?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going for.
But it's, you know, that happens to everybody.
Yeah, well, if you're a human being, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to wake up one day wearing someone else's clothes.
Yeah.
And skin.
Someone else's skin.
That's just reincarnation, brothers.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's weird.
It's really good.
Bruh. It's reincarnation. Yeah.
I was talking about that last night, where it's like there's those guys that just have those words that make you hate them so much. Oof. And that's like brah is one of them. Or it's like when a guy is talking about, there was these guys my brothers was friends with, and they would just go, it's like, you guys like Louis C.K.? That's truth. Now it's like when they meant to say something was like really funny, they would say it's truth. And okay. Truth.
Oh, you're irritating. Why are you so irritating? I think there was a weird example that was years and years ago. Dave Foley had a party at his house, and we were talking about this guy Brian Greene, who wrote this book about super string theory called The Elegant Universe, and this guy comes up and who had that bra energy, but all of his information was physics based, and it just made us
hate him so much.
So he's like, brah, you know, super strings. What are we talking about here? I mean, if you have this dimension and this dimension, he started laying all this information, but it then always ended with like a, I mean, come on, brah. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah. You know, but
you're not thinking, brah.
Yeah. It's like listening to Joe Rogan, where it's like, these are really interesting facts, but I don't like the tone it's in.
It's sort of like, imagine if Neil deGrasse Tyson and Spicoli went into a matter transporter together, and the machine didn't know what to do with their genetic codes, and so it spliced them together and basically created...
It's another great TV show. We've pitched like seven great
Brundle
TV
Nerd.
Shows.
Brundle High.
Brundle High.
It's great.
So that was such a weird, where like I couldn't even process this guy because it was, the presentation was that he might as well have been talking about, bro, we got to go get these fucking donuts and we'll eat a bag of weed. Like it was so much, but it was
all
about physics.
A bag of weed.
Yeah.
And then a bag of donuts.
Joey bag of donuts?
Joey bag of donuts.
God.
Are you, you don't do stand up, do you?
I do improv and sketch.
Just improv.
Well, I used to do sketch.
Just improv and sketch.
Someone recently came up to me and said that, and you're a comic, said that stand up people don't consider improvisers comics. Would you say yes or no to that? I'd never heard that before.
No,
I've known it for a decade.
Comics, you're in comedy. You're a comic.
That's what I would think, but I don't know.
Oh, I guess maybe they're saying, because it's not like, yeah, I would say an improv comic. Absolutely, I would say an improv comic.
I would do also. It's the first time I ever heard someone say that. Oh, but I did do sketch, and I used to freelance for Letterman, so I used to write quite a bit of jokes. And then for Weekend Update, freelance like facts and jokes.
I would say comedian for sure. Yeah,
the word comic, it's weird. I had no idea until recently that someone said comic is not improvised. I'm like, well, it's improvised comedy. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really odd.
I did stand up at the very beginning. I did it maybe 10 times. I found it terrifying. And I found it very difficult, and I found it terrifying, and I found myself having more fun when I'm surrounded by people when I'm either succeeding or failing. I like to share in it with you.
Like being in a band.
Yes, like when you bomb in stand-up, man, you bomb. Like, it's you. You have bombed.
But that's what's kind of the exciting thing about it, is that you own all of it.
That's true. When you succeed. I mean, like, I write as well, so there's the big part. Anytime you write a joke for someone or you write a script, it's like, this is what I think is funny. I'm going to give it to you. This is what I believe to be funny or entertaining. And you put yourself out there, just the way a comic does.
Yeah.
Man, stand up, I find very, very difficult. But I haven't, you know what? Also, I had no stage presence. I had no idea what I was doing. It was right when I started. I wonder what my stuff would be like if I tried to do stand up now.
I'm sure if you did now, just because you have like you know who you are, and you have like a performer's quality about you. So just, you could tell a story and make it funny.
Yeah, like
you
know how monologues.
To, I think it'd be.
Yeah,
I think it's easier to go from improv to stand up than from stand up to improv.
That's what I've heard from stand ups that they, well, the same way that I'll look at them being like, you're going to write another 40 minutes, which means that you're going to have to go out for 2 months. That's crazy. They look at us being like, you're going to make it up on the spot and with nothing?
Well,
nothing?
I think it's more about, I think the harder thing for a comic is probably because you're so used to driving everything alone, it's very difficult to trust in a team and to not, you know, not go jokey. Like when a comic, typically when a stand-up, when there's a little bit of silence, they'll go for a joke. Whereas an improv person will either relish it or go for information as opposed to trying to make a joke.
That's one of the biggest regrets I have, was just not continuing full on with improv as I was doing stand up as well.
And also like the time you killed that guy?
Well, no, improv I don't regret is first, that. Probably. Oh, you don't regret that. My fault.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Not at all. He deserved it. He had it coming. But like, yeah, I love improv so much, and I love doing it. And every once in a while, I'll go take like an intensive class, and just to like do it again. I love it.
I remember the first time I saw a show that blew my mind at UCB. I was like, I hope to one day be able to do that for the rest of my life, until it's inappropriate for me to be performing anymore.
But that's the great thing, is I don't know if it'll ever, you know, unless, yeah, I don't know if they'll ever, you know. As a comedy performer, I don't know if it'll ever be inappropriate. Like, as long as you're
as old as you want.
Yeah. I think if you're not funny anymore, then that's a problem.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any time.
I don't think there's any time limitation.
But I think for stand-up comedians, for improvisers, I know for improvisers and sketch comics, like I was, it helps you write and it helps you understand comedy so much, and it helps you act for improvisers. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know how to play a beat, and you know how to play with a beat. And also, I've had to improvise dramatically, and you find out that improvising comedy is, you know, if you learn how to do that and just follow a truthful moment, then it's the same way for drama. It's been so helpful for me in writing and acting so much.
Yeah, writing especially, because you learn how to volley stuff around in your head to, like, extend a scene or a dialogue. And on top of that, you know, just the structure of heightening situations or jokes, like, comes from, like, you know, doing Harold style improv.
Yeah. You ever do improv at all?
I did a little bit in the late 90s. I was doing some stuff at Groundlings.
Are you 100 years old?
Yeah, I am.
You made so many references to years and years ago.
Yeah. That's gross.
Were you like 30?
I'd fucking kill myself.
Oh my God.
This is gross. Let's get some of you dying.
Let's get some Logan's run up in this bitch.
Fuck. What movie is that?
I don't know.
It's a video game.
It's a fucking video game.
Remember that video game, Logan's Run?
So Michael York was a great character to play. I did stuff at Groundlings, and then I kind of just, for me, it was like, yeah, stand up is really more what I, because I,
yeah,
I,
you get a feel. Like, I did stand up and improv at the same time. I was like, oh, improv is more me.
I mean, I've done, you know, over the years, I guested on, you know, at Ask Cat or on the Armando show I feel much more comfortable when it's just me and a microphone rather than everyone's depending on me to not drop the ball.
Right.
In this
scene. It's a good team, then they.
I don't want to be the weak link in that team.
Yeah.
It took a lot of years of practice groups and performing for nobody to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know that on the one hand you are making it up on the spot, but on the other hand, you're able to do that because of this massive tool set that you have built over the years. And so it's not as amorphous as just like, I'm just making stuff up on the spot.
Yeah.
You understand the structure of it. You understand what drives the scenes forward. You understand when to push and pull. Like, there's so many more things. You have a bank that you can go to. You know, like, it's not
just the idea of how to handle situations. Yes. But we'll never, like, revisit something we've ever done.
No.
But I will say this, which I found really interesting, and I think it's the same for, I'm assuming you'll tell me, for stand-up, for improv and for acting especially. At the beginning, you have no confidence. I had no confidence. My first show, you had to peel me away from the back wall. I was terrified of making a mistake. And as you go on and your confidence builds, you start making more riskier moves that would give bigger payoffs. And when you get rewarded for those bigger payoffs, you're like, oh, wait, I can do this. Same with stand-up. You could say a joker. And then when you get comfortable, then it's a whole different game. Yeah. When you get enough confidence where you feel comfortable, same with acting, auditions, it's the same way. You can be a great actor and be terrible at auditioning for a while, and then, like, you get comfortable with it, and then you can start being yourself in auditions. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a tool, and I'm assuming it's the same with stand-up as well.
Yeah. But auditioning is such an awful process.
Auditioning is tough, man. Yeah. It's really tough. And also, it could have nothing to do with you.
Nothing
you could go in and
you.
Be perfect for the role, and they're like, yeah, but you're Jewish. Like, oh, okay. They're like, we want a 3'5".
The role's
Jewish.
I just don't like soldiers. Jewish people.
Why would you? We're going to find a regular guy. We're going to get Santa Claus in for this role.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of me. Literally.
It's not even real.
No. But he killed it, though. He killed it. Santa was great. I was supposed to play a Santa in Nightmare Before Christmas. But then they said I was too Jewish for it.
Yeah, then they just cut some guy out of clay.
And too human.
No.
And too human.
Yeah, too human and not stop motion.
You would move too much naturally.
They said I look more like a Muppet than stop motion.
Yeah. Get some wires in you, kid. Come back later. But that's what Dana Gould was saying. It's like the job is, like, of being an actor, the job is auditioning. The reward is, like, you know, it's
actually,
like,
acting. That's funny. I never thought about
you
it.
Get you get paid all that money because of all the auditions you go on and driving around and doing all this stuff. The reward and the fun part of it all, like the cherry on the top, is just getting the actual role.
That's interesting.
But it's not even... It's actually worse than selling vacuum cleaners door to door, because when you're selling vacuum cleaners door to door, there's like a 50-50 chance you might make a sale.
Right.
But when you're auditioning against like 100 other people.
Yeah.
And it's all out of your control, mostly out of your control. I mean, if you're good in the audition, that's a bonus, not the first thing they look for. It's like the fourth thing they look for.
If you're good at the audition.
Do you look right for this thing? Do you look right next to the other characters? Are you too tall for this? Are you too Are your, is your hair too dark?
Or if you play it differently, are you like,
do you look like this character that we have in our heads that we don't exactly.
Pilot season especially, I feel like that is. Once you get to movies, my hope is that if you're good enough in a room, you can maybe change their mind. Well, maybe this guy could be this age, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. But I remember, you're right, Ian Roberts, when I was taking a class, Ian Roberts, who is like the machine in improv, he's extraordinary. He said, we're in the only business that you're told no 1,000 times more than you're told yes.
Sure.
Think of any other business in the world. He goes, and if you're good, I mean very good at what you do, you'll be told no 9 out of 10 times. And that's if you're great at this.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. This is such a... I thought we were going to make fart jokes. This has become like a real podcast.
Oh, farts are...
We did. We made Fart Castle.
Oh, right.
We did make Fart Castle.
I guess that's enough.
The Castle of Farts.
But I'll say this last real thing, and then I've got 30 minutes on fart material, if you don't mind.
Sure,
About like what you can eat and the different smells and like how you can eat your own farts and become like...
Finally.
Okay, cool. But I remember at the very beginning, and not to say that I'm very successful at all, but I've gotten a tiny bit of success here doing it. But at the beginning, I remember going into a practice group. It was, I paid money for the space, paid money for a coach. Me and six people like were trying to get better at improv. And we went into a room and we couldn't get a room. So the only room we could get was a person who did headshot photography. So on the walls were all headshots. And there were not, and per picture, there's about six people. And there was maybe 120 pictures. And I'd never taken an acting class before. And just in UCB. And I looked around the room and I was like, there are thousands of people trying to do exactly what I'm trying to do that have had professional training. And I remember being like, I'm never going to make it. The odds are so against me. I remember getting really depressed after that thing. And I'm sure I was terrible in the rehearsal also. No, but I remember having a real moment where I never talked about this before, but I remember looking around and being like, oh, all these people have been going to school. I paid thousands and thousands of dollars for school. And they've gotten paid money for a headshot, and they're so much more prepared than I am. And I'm trying to get in this industry in such a specific way, like doing what I love, which is comedy and improv. And it was really scary to me. Wow. I remember it was real scary because I was a page at Letterman for, you know, $8-$9 an hour, and I was interning for classes, and I was bartending, and even the people that were performing on Sunday, like Jack McBrayer, Paul Scheer, who I thought were maybe the funniest people I've ever seen in my life, they could not get work. Like, Jack was getting like Conan. He would do Conan bits for money.
Yeah.
And he would have no money. He really didn't have a lot of money. And then people started breaking. Like, people all of a sudden started breaking. And it gave me more confidence. But I remember there's a couple days after that where I was really scared for myself because I saw the amount of people that are trying to do the same exact thing I'm trying to do. And it was petrifying to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gnarly.
But don't give up. The end of that is don't give up.
Yeah.
Look at the three of us. We're still doing this, and you're 150. Jonah's 20. I'm 76. Jonah's vegan now.
Yeah,
he is.
But there was that moment. I remember that moment very, very well. I remember being really scared. It made me feel like I was so scared. But whatever.
Well, no, it's not. And it's scary, and not only that, but, you know, part of the creepy thing about it, you know, particularly in Los Angeles and sort of being in that acting class stratum is that you can just sort of and this isn't disparaging, I was in it, you know, when I was young, is it just
60 years ago
I mean, you know, we were taking the red car to
the truck.
I want to be an actor, Mom.
It was like right when they built Toontown.
Before Christopher Lloyd came by.
Well, he had this crazy freeway idea.
Yeah, it's huge.
That only a toon could come up with.
No.
Yeah.
And so
sorry, we interrupted like a really sweet moment. I'm sorry.
No,
Chris.
I was gonna say it's being in that layer of Los Angeles and just feeling the desperation, just like the palpable desperation, because, you know, when you're an actor, it's not like you could just go act. I mean, it's very hard to do that. You know, at least with stand-up or improv, it's like, fuck, you know, all I need is two people and I can just start talking at them, you know, or improv. You're like, sure. We can just improv alone.
Yeah.
You can improv without an audience because then you're just fucking working it out. But, you know, and so I really, you know, I feel bad for people who have the passion for acting and just want to do it so bad, but it's like, you know, they can't just go do it, and so they have to pay to do it, and then it's weird, and you know,
that's why I think so many more people now, our generation, are there a lot of writer performers, like all three of us write, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's you have to be able to write for yourself, as I've learned, and now that you have the internet, that you can actually get stuff out there. But If you don't write for yourself, nobody's going to write for you.
Into what?
Yeah. Oh,
sorry, I'm 150.
You're going to love this. All right, so you know how like you used to take a can with a string and put it to your ear?
Oh, yeah, yesterday.
Video games.
Yes, video games.
Do they still have video games?
You're going to, if you saw our video games now, you'd be blown away.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's a controller that has four directions and two buttons on the right.
So it makes the cup go in any direction.
Any direction.
That you want to kick it.
And then, by the way, now that you've kicked the can, you can go ahead and kick that can again.
No.
An unlimited amount of times, yeah.
What am I going to do with my stick and hoop?
Okay, this is going to be hilarious. But what you could do is make an antenna. There's something called DirecTV.
Mm.
Oh, my God. You shit yourself and come at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again. All the kids are riding the penny farthing bikes now.
I know. Guys, listen. I know. I need you to watch a movie for me.
What?
Okay.
It's called
the House of Fire.
the House of Fire? The Castle of Fire?
That's all you know?
House Farts.
That's the only thing you know?
House Farts was the prequel to Castle of Fire.
Yeah, House Farts was the prequel to Fart Castle.
No, House Farts was the Kid and Play movie.
Yeah, that was House Farty.
House Farty. House Farty.
We are done here, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean,
it is time to clock out.
You dropped the mic after that, right?
Yeah, if I could.
Oh, your thing skipped. Everything skipped. You drop all the podcast equipment.
Oh, shit.
Falls through the desk somehow.
Slow clap for House Party. Oh. Well done.
You did great, buddy.
Gotta get rock and roll to you.
Oh, my God. He's floating away.
What's happening? Where are
he's
you going?
He's floating away.
What the fuck?
Oh, my God.
I love that you're acting it out, even though it's
nobody can see it.
Podcast.
We were saying outside how funny it would be to have a prop comic on a podcast.
Yeah.
If you had like a, but then like he'd be like, yeah, it's more like a hat made of cheese. And then he dangles his keys.
That's all he has.
That's all he has is his keys. Yeah.
They're a prop.
Yeah.
Don't look down on me. They're a prop.
No, sir. Please. I apologize.
They're a prop.
The whole world's a prop if you think about it. Thank you, guys. Disappear in a puff of smoke.
That's amazing.
What usually happens here? Is this usually what happens on these
this
guys?
This is usually what it is. Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah. Okay. Except, like, way better. I think that maybe...
Was there actually a thought?
Calling HR, guys.
Yeah. Why are you typing
so hard?
Where'd
you get an HR keyboard?
I did that undercover show, and I was the character that always hacked into the mainframe.
Of course.
By the way, my my internet Wi-Fi password... not password. That would be terrible to give it off. It's just Chris. Geez, what's it called? The wireless...
Your wireless key, your password?
Yeah, username. Sure, that's it. You know when you go online, you pick which wireless network? Network, that's what it is. My network is called Mainframe, so anybody wants to get in it, they have to get the password and hack into the Mainframe.
Nice.
But I play this character that would always... I was like the nerdy guy to the cool macho guy. And I type in real life, and I type like this, and I get a note every time from the director, hey, Ben, you type too goddamn hard, okay? You're blocking out all the sound.
That's how I type, bro.
I was like, hey, man, you want me, bruh? I'm going to have to type like this.
So I type, bruh.
This is true.
I type like Beethoven plays the piano.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my hands go wildly over there. So my note was literally I had to learn how to type quieter. I remember that.
Did you ever have to do a thing where you're typing at one computer, push yourself away from the desk, swing around to another computer and type some more?
No, I wish. I did have to type, and then there was like a girl I was trying to impress to my left, and it had like nerdy banter like, pretty impressive, huh? Like one of those.
Oh, well, that must have worked.
Yeah.
I'm still single right now.
Yeah. You just look at her and you're just putting 6969, 6969, 6969.
Do you get it?
Do you get it?
And then I go, do you get it?
143.
Then I get it. I stab her. I usually stab her at the end of it.
You should.
With love.
My love stabber.
Oh, yeah. Love is the name of my knife.
Love stab. Love stabber.
Love stabber.
Love is the name of my knife.
Love stabber.
That's just Crossfire, the board
you
game.
You get caught up in it. Love stabber.
Love stabber. Love stab. I'm still going B-52s, guys.
Yeah.
This is why I'm a bad improviser, because I'm not yes-ending yours.
This
I'm just
is my
still
you're turning into B-52s?
My love stabber's as big as a dick.
I got my stab. That's as big as a love. Can we do a whole podcast as the one guy from
Fresh
B-52s?
Snyder?
Yes, when we want people to not ever listen again.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
No, it's Fresh Snyder versus Jello Biafra.
Who's Jello Biafra?
He's a singer for Dead Kennedys. Pretty much the same voice. Just politics and gay issues with
Too drunk to fuck. Too drunk. Too drunk to fuck.
Too drunk.
That's amazing. Too drunk.
This is a little hotkey soundboard here, which we recently figured out how to use.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, I didn't know there was a pod for it.
Well, you invented that 35 years ago, didn't you?
Well, I didn't get the patent on it, so right. I didn't really.
So it's not yours technically.
I did think of it, but they already had it to steal a joke from Night Shift. So we played with it, and it was very polarizing. A lot of people loved the soundboard; that was delightful. Right. How far I took it. Some people. Not so happy.
No.
Yeah. Same thing on Jonah Radio. They had
to let me know, hey man, just wanted you to know I've been listening to the podcast for a long time, and your little soundboard shenanigans almost made me never want to listen again. Like, that's all it took?
Oh yeah. No. They were on the edge. They were on the fence for a while.
I feel like you had one foot out the door anyway, which would sound like this.
Oh, everything sounds like keys.
What? Everything like keys. I'm the sound guy that you probably met my brother.
Oh, I didn't know.
Totally different
man,
keys.
Get that gun away from me.
That's Dave Foley over there.
That guy is that kind of artist.
Our Foley artist, yes.
Dave Foley.
We wanted to do that on WebSoup. We wanted to have Dave Foley, Foley artist come on.
That'd be funny. Hey, man, are you eating pie?
Yep, delicious. Yum, nom, 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 nom. Mmm, blueberry.
Chris, watch out for that pudding that's about to fall on you.
Oh, where did that come from?
But, like, the sound never stops, so how is that? Yeah. Your keys never stop dangling.
I am a universe of sound.
Guys, I got this, too.
Oh, okay, to be fair, he has a yo-yo in his hand. So this bit doesn't
he's
even
just,
work.
He's just trying to wind the string into the yo-yo, and it's not.
How's it coming through on the cans?
It sounds good.
You're unwinding a yo-yo.
It sounds
you can barely
like
hear
string
anything.
Coming
yeah, exactly,
off of a
but it's, you know, you need to have it there.
I guess.
Let me tell you something about film production.
Let me tell you a little something about Foley.
Yeah. Is that you trying to open up a thing of papers so you can start telling us about Foley's?
Yes, so that I could read how this sounds
All right,
like.
Let's read. Just read. Surely there's no sound for that. How would you read?
Father's brought to this.
How much do you know of that?
Because
you turned into Borat by the end, by the way.
Oh, shit.
I'd like
to do my Sacha Baron Cohen impression. I'm an impressionist, too. I'm not just a Foley artist.
Can you do Jack Nicholson?
Sure.
Nope. Yeah. Chris.
Yeah, I'm holding it back.
It back, and he took a breath.
This was from...
he also turned around from the mic. And then.
Yeah, this was from Chinatown.
Oh, I get that. Yeah. You can't see his hand. He actually nailed that out of the
park. Yep, and then... hey, guys, I hear the Joker just came in.
I guess. I mean, if he had keys in his pocket, that makes sense. I guess.
We don't have headphones on, so this could be really spot on.
Oh, yeah. I can't hear what's happening in my ears at all.
You never know what's going to happen digitally.
Got nothing in my cans, guys.
Got nothing in my cans. Don't got cans?
I don't got cans. Oh,
cans.
Better get my car keys.
Oh, you just ruined two DVDs.
What are you talking about?
Like, that's what car keys sound like. Man.
Why?
Use the keys.
It can't always be about the keys,
fine,
Ben.
Fine. For this particular one, find something that's... Just use your keys. Hey, man, do me a favor. Throw me those keys of yours. That's a phone hanging up.
Oh.
Then why don't you use that for the phone? Those are Mardi Gras beads.
Chris.
That's your book.
No, it's not. Here's your keys, sir.
Here's your keys. How's that coming in? Does it sound like keys?
You're putting a plate of glass.
Now you look like Rich Hall doing fun with plexiglass.
Down.
You can't do it when you're wearing glasses. You can't smush your face against it.
Shut up, man.
Sorry, guys. I apologize.
Oh, this is Jonah's weird button. I should have told you not to bring it up.
I'm really sorry. Sorry.
It's not.
You never brought it up for. We've hung out before.
No, it's fine. I don't want to talk about it, but it's totally cool. I just don't want to talk about it right now.
Okay, sure.
Hey, man, what are you doing over there, Five Eyes?
There we go.
You have glasses on your dick?
one
it's
monocle.
A monocle.
Friends.
God gave
having
rock and
fun. Friends.
I'm going to put my monocle on right now.
You have a monocle. Put it on.
No, it doesn't sound real.
Oh, my God.
Man, I'm all about keeping it real. K-I-R.
Keeping it real.
We all know you have a phone to the left of you. Everybody knows that, right? In here. Surely saying anything. Mm-hmm. Your hand's already on the keys. Take your hand off the keys.
What keys?
I want you to do the sound effect of hanging up on a phone. Listen to me. I'm going to remind you that a phone is to your left.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, you're not allowed to touch the keys.
What?
No, don't say what. Just pick up the phone and hang it up.
As a precaution, I'm going to grab his keys.
Thank you, Jonah. I appreciate it. So Jonah has your
Delilah.
Keys.
Delilah.
Chris, all right. Listen to me, okay? Hey, sir, I don't want your business. I'd like you to hang up on me. Ugh. threw a bunch of thumbtacks on the ground.
Paper clips. Yeah.
No, there was some tacks in there too.
Oh God!
This sound game has become entirely too taxing.
Oh,
thank you,
Jonah.
See,
sorry, I'm just trying to get this car started.
Hey, man, stop stealing tricks from the master.
They took my keys. I can't.
And
even
by
do
that,
this
I mean Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ooh, good one.
Thank you.
I think he's very... I'd like to see him in another comedy. I think Boogie Nights, he was very, very funny.
A fucking piece of shit.
God.
Piece of shit.
That movie's... Don Cheadle's in that one.
He is.
That movie's great, man.
The hi-fi.
Yeah, man. That movie's great.
He's great. I love that movie so much. Yeah.
Three weirdos.
Are you guys jerking off, too?
Three idiots. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Have you guys figured out a way to... That's not how you jerk off.
Oh, my God.
Ew.
Yeah.
He's really gonna,
everything is just making it
he's
seem...
He's gonna climax.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna come.
It's the same noise. Ew. The sad part is he really came also.
Yeah.
The keys are disgusting right now.
I'm a cyborg. I forgot to tell you. I have a robotic cum.
Lead with that. That's the unusual thing. Tell us that before we have a whole podcast.
Why? I thought you knew that.
Oh, how many people know that?
I have nanomites in my... My cum is made of nanomites.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
They can fix anything. If I come on a machine that's broken, it'll fix it back up.
What's your favorite movie, Chris?
What's your perfect Sunday?
What is your favorite
watching
movie?
My favorite movie? It would probably be, in all seriousness, it would probably be Groundhog Day.
It's your favorite movie?
I think so.
Can I tell you a thing that when I pitch movies, I sometimes...
We're out of time.
Groundhog Day. Okay, guys, take care. Thank you so much for having me. House of Lies, Sunday, 10 p.m. on Showtime. My cartoon show is Randy Cunningham. It's on Disney XD. There's the thing that I do is... In Groundhog's Day, they never explain why he wakes up in the morning and why the day replays. Because a lot of times you'll get notes from studios saying, but why? And I was like, but in Groundhog's Day, like, I'll use that. I'll pull that out of the thing. Because they don't...
But do they remind you that you're adding an S at the end of Groundhog? And so
yes,
maybe they don't
go,
think you're thinking of a different movie.
I'm talking about a totally different movie. It's a short film I did called Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
It's about Phil, groundhog.
Who has the
best... It's about
best
this guy
ever.
That just takes up too much room.
Yeah,
on a towel.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I did a movie with Stephen Tobolowsky, who played a
Needle Nose Ned, the head,
and he was just the sweetest man in the world.
Get him
on this show.
I would love to.
He should have been the spokesperson for Bing.
Huh?
Bing!
That's the best.
Yeah.
What's your favorite movie, Jonah?
Ed Wood.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's so unique. That's your favorite movie?
It's my favorite movie of all time.
So you can watch it anytime?
I can watch it anytime. If it's on TV, I'll watch it
and
watch it all the way through.
Fall asleep to it.
I fall asleep to it more times than anything else.
What's your favorite movie?
Ed Wood.
That's not true.
Favorite movie is Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's got to be number two
I can
or three
watch
for
that.
Me.
I can watch that anytime. I love that movie.
Remember when he gets into the DeLorean?
Yep, don't you take
wait,
up
no,
your keys.
Wait, no, that was finally going to work.
Oh, my God. Wait, you're right. Wait, go. Oh, no.
Yeah, you ruined it.
You blew
it.
I
was going to end it on points because no one is as sick of the keys gag at this point.
Dumb and Dumber also is up there. Comedy,
Dumb and Dumber is one of my favorite. Yeah.
Shawshank I can watch.
Shawshank is another one. God, I love Shawshank.
Favorite TV show? Do you guys ever talk about this stuff?
Yeah, it's probably come up here and there.
We don't talk about it.
Favorite TV show of all time?
No, you don't have to do this.
Walking
Dead. It's hard to say.
Are you on Walking Dead?
He hosts a post show.
Oh, Talking Dead?
Yeah.
I've heard about it.
It's my show.
Is it real?
Yeah, bro.
Is it on AMC?
Yeah, bro. Right after Walking Dead. Let's talk about physics.
It's hard
Curtis
to say.
Curtis Quinn is writing on Walking Dead.
I know. Isn't that great?
Curtis Quinn, a UCB
guy. A comedy writer.
Who's
UCB
performer.
So amazing. One of the funniest guys. He's been writing and show running NTSF.
He does that.
And he just got a job as a writer on The Walking Dead.
That's fantastic.
It's a comedy guy that made a jump to dramatic writing, which
he's
is
great.
Like he's been trying for like the past year or so to get into drama.
He's going to be great.
Yeah. I'm so fucking stoked for him.
Talking Dead, you host it.
Yeah.
Let me write an email real quick to my
guys. What's your favorite TV show?
That's not
Simpsons.
Connected to a computer.
Well, I want to watch The Simpsons now. I don't know what my favorite TV show would be now. Of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, Simpsons is up there. Freaks and Geeks, Arrested Development, UK version of The Office.
Yep.
Freaks and Geeks meant a lot to me. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Simpsons always means a lot to me.
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, probably one of my favorite shows.
Cheers, Night Court, Mary Tyler Moore, the obvious ones. Golden Girls, I fucking love. A lot of love for Golden Girls. It's
God,
it's a great show.
You are old, huh?
Okay.
You know, if Matt was saying this stuff, you would have fucking fired him by now.
Why?
That's fun.
It's easier.
I love you.
I know, but you're so positive
and
upbeat.
You're five. Matt means it when he says things.
Yeah.
He's a mean-spirited human being.
Yes, see?
Yeah.
He believes me.
I loved him. He was so sweet.
Yeah.
I loved him. No, you look like you're five.
It's not that we have to fire Matt. Sometimes we have to exercise him.
Oh.
What?
Guys.
Was that too far? Because he had a demon addiction?
Far enough.
Sorry, I've been watching Supernatural.
Hey, do you also host Talking Bed?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I do the wrap-up show for all of the Leeds mattress commercials.
Man, I see you there.
Yeah.
Oh, that woman just judged me, by the way. I laughed. Some woman passed by, looked at me real weird when I was laughing.
Look at that chuckle
fuck. Bitch.
God, why do I hate
piece
me so
of
much?
Shit. Hey, there's Matt Meyer out there right now.
Boo, it's soundproof. That doesn't mean anything.
There he goes. It's Kristen.
Interesting to listen to.
Yeah, I know. Someone say something.
Chris, get in the game. I don't know how to drive the ship.
This
I don't know how to drive the ship.
Jonah, they're all outside looking at us.
Oh, creepy.
Who are the other two human beings with her?
That's Kristen Rutherford. She's one of the writers on the Nerds TV show. That's Ashley. She books our guests.
Got it.
And that's Matt Myra.
Well, what else can we talk about?
Nothing. That's it. We figured everything out, Ben.
Hey, we did it, by the way.
We really did, didn't we?
This was really exciting.
I love you very much. I hope you didn't take the old thing. I'm sorry. You're my age.
Close.
Oh, no. He's killing himself with the keys.
Don't you stop me. I have a bomb.
We could be friends, right?
We can.
The three of us could be friends.
We could be, but we won't. That's the difference.
I know. We'll never talk to each other again.
I don't hang out with children.
I thought you were going to say Jews. I don't hang out.
Who
with
are Jewish? I didn't get to finish.
Jewish children.
HR. He said children. Enter, space, alt, Windows button, control, escape, U.
F6, F9.
Oh, my God. The toaster is flying on the screen. Just like that.
Those toasters are eating each other out on the screen.
Whatever happened to those toasters?
Jonah typed F6, F9.
F6, F9.
They just kept on flying,
man. What happened to flying toasters?
Yeah.
Well, people got other screensavers.
Not me, man.
Still living the dream?
Not me, not never.
Mm-mm. Let me tell you something about screensavers, brah.
The show? It turned into Attack of the Show, and then it got canceled.
What's that?
Screensavers.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch that nerd shit, dude.
Whoa, really? What do you watch, dude?
Edward.
Is it true that these podcasts are like roughly 3.5 hours short?
No. Yep. That's Pete Holmes' podcast.
No, ours is about
terrified.
an hour 15.
Hour 15. We could go.
And we're in
an hour
and 11.
Oh my God. All right, can we talk something really important for 4 minutes?
Let's do it.
I don't have it.
Come on, we can do it.
What should we talk about? What do you want to talk about?
Just anything.
House Live Sundays. That'll be good for me to say. That way Showtime won't be upset at me.
That's important.
House Live Sundays. Parks and Rec is coming up. John Ralphio has a sister. Her name is Mona Lisa.
Who plays her?
Jenny Slate.
Sweet.
Who's also on House of Lies.
Yep.
And who I've done an episode of Bob's Burgers with.
That's right.
So I'm on 3 different shows with Jenny Slate. Randy Cunningham, Ninth Grade Ninja, is on Disney XD. I play Randy Cunningham.
That's your show too, right?
I don't write it, but I act in it. And then Tim Curry plays the villain in that. And we have a bunch of really cool guys in
Did
that.
Did you just do a Tim Curry voice?
A little bit.
Oh, you do only sound effect impressions, right?
Yeah, I can.
Let me hear your Robin Williams, disgruntled Robin Williams.
Whoa.
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to do my impression of Francis Scott Keys.
Sure. Oh, come on, man. Come on.
What?
It's the same bit over and over again.
No, that was Francis Scott Keys. That's what he sounded like. You don't have a recording. You can't fucking prove it.
Ugh, I don't have. You're right. I apologize.
That's all right.
You're right.
I have my J.J. Abrams app, which goes in the past. and here's any celebrity.
Do you think you'll be in the new Star Wars?
Do I think I'll be in the new Star Wars? Mm-hmm. I'd say that's highly unlikely.
Highly illogical? Wrong movie, man.
What if JJ melded them together, like merged them together?
I had a bit. I was gonna interview him and then try to release it when they announced that whatever. And I was like, my bit, which I can't do now because I don't think we're gonna do it. I'm gonna waste it on this podcast. Was so you just directed Star Trek and now you're directing Star Wars. And then I hear you're directing the stars, the constellations right now. what do you think of Orion's belt for a second act? But I can't do that bit, so I just used it here.
Yep.
Too bad.
I like
man.
It. Would have been good.
I bet the world would have loved that.
Even microphones over it.
World would have loved it.
I hope we get to see more of you, Ben Schwartz.
I would come back anytime. I like you guys.
You're a funny, delightful individual.
I really enjoy hanging out with you guys.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
I wish someone would say it back. Oh, God.
I heard the latest podcast, and the 19th time the cheese came on, it ceased to be.
Oh, my God. It turns into Mumra. In an instant, it turns into Mumra. It just took 1 second for you to turn into Mumra. It's like a comedian doing an evil villain. Oh, Mumra. Yeah. Can you do any great impressions? Don't be.
I can do John Ritter.
Is this real?
But I can only say one word.
Oh, this is great. I love stuff like this.
I can only say one word. It's John Ritter. It's Jack Tripper. Basically, in disbelief at Chrissy.
Great. Here it comes.
Chrissy. That's it. That's it. That's what I do. I also do a pretty good Kevin McDonald.
Let's hear it from Kids in the Hall.
I've done the Kevin McDonald impersonation on the podcast before.
I can do Aziz. Kanye West.
That was pretty good. I can do the puppet from Full House. Do you remember the puppet?
Woody the Woodpecker.
The Olsen Twins?
Not Woody the Woodpecker. That's a cartoon from a while ago.
Oh, I feel like I had a really
sweet
joke.
Sorry, Woody the Woodchuck.
Woody Woodchuck.
Yeah.
It goes, this is it. I found out I could do it when I was in high school or...
Can I say my joke again just so you guys
go,
are here
please.
This time?
Yeah.
So say your part again.
So I can do the Woody Woodpecker part?
The puppet part. Say the puppet.
I can do a really good impression of the puppet that Joey plays from Full House.
Oh, see, you didn't say it that way the first
time. What did I say?
You said I could. It's going to be so much funnier now that I've
broken it. Wait, set yourself up and then do it.
Okay, I'll set myself up.
Do it in a voice like me. Okay. So set yourself up as.
I could do a really good impression of the puppet from Full House. Oh, the Olsen Twins? Come on, you guys. It was worth it.
You know,
that's great.
You know,
it took. It took 10 puppeteers from ILM to operate
My
the
God,
character
really?
Of the Olsen
like
Twins.
Ad magic?
You know the joke's good when you have to say, come on, guys, afterwards.
Come on, guys.
It's the eel. It's the eel's
I like that joke.
The eels always look
this
like
is it. Ready? This is Woody the Woodchuck from Full House. Ready? I haven't done this in maybe a decade. Did you say what? Right?
Yeah.
Also, you just did Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that took down the room.
I know
your audience,
really
I guess.
Sad all of a sudden.
I hope we get good comments for this one.
Oh, I hope the comments are so good.
I'll predict it right now. 41 comments.
Okay.
39, nice. No, 37, really nice. 2, not about the podcast at all. And then 2 completely negative ones.
I want the comment section for this podcast, if you don't mind. I want it to be about stuff you guys really want to talk about. Like, leave comments about what's bothering you at home or like anything.
Don't
like,
do
really
that.
Use the comment section. And then at the end, hashtag blessed, if you don't mind. I really want...
blame all of your problems on House of Lies.
At RejectedJokes is my Twitter handle. My website is RejectedJokes.com. I post videos that I make.
I don't understand. If they were rejected, why are you putting them on the internet?
That's good. That's a good question, sir. It's because I started off as a freelance writer for David Letterman. And so my website started as Rejected Jokes from there.
Can I just really quickly, Boy George was trending on Twitter today. So my first thought is like, did he die?
Oh, no.
So I click on the thing. Not dead, but he just had some sort of a back and forth, like a negative back and forth with one of the One Direction guys.
Oh, no.
And it was funny to see people on Twitter. I guess, you know, young people have just rediscovered the concept of Boy George, because I saw more than one of the following tweet without any shred of irony. More like Girl George.
Oh, wow. We got him though. Wow. Nailed him right in the kisser.
I wanted to fucking punch the internet. The internet.
And then
just
those
needs
kids' dads were like, I made the same joke, kid. You're good. You're good.
And the cats and the cradle.
And the animals. Do you think that we could start a musical group, the three of us, called Boy, George?
Yep.
Like, Boy George.
Boy George.
Boy
I really
George.
Like these apples.
That's exactly correct.
Yes.
That's what I want.
I thought you were going to say we're going to start a band called the Boy Commodores, where it's a young version of Lionel Richie and the Commodores.
That'd be amazing. I'm a huge fan of the Commodores.
Well, then we should do their origin story.
Guys, goodness. I'm not. What are we going to do about it?
Do you think JJ would direct that? The Commodore's origin story?
I think he's loosely attached right now, but I have a feeling he's going to drop because he's doing seven movies.
Now, the studio doesn't understand why there's not an actual naval Commodore in there. It's called the Commodores.
It makes no sense, but JJ's loosely attached.
Loosely
attached. You know, JJ, I wrote a remake of the film.
Let's just start attaching him to stuff.
I made a remake of the film Soap Dish. I wrote that for Paramount. And then JJ, I found out, had done a punch-up on the original Soap
Dish.
Wow.
I fucking love Soap Dish.
Dude, yeah, I wrote a remake for Paramount for it.
Oh,
that's great.
If people haven't seen Soap Dish, and that's awesome news.
I'll send it to you secretly.
I shouldn't have said that online.
I will not send it to you on Paramount. You will, Chris, I'm not allowed to send it to you. I'm sorry, buddy.
Way to cover up your tracks in the maze, Danny.
You should still have Kevin Kline in it, though.
Oh, my God, I think Kevin Kline's amazing.
He's one of my favorites.
I like it. I like that movie a lot.
Kopfschlagen.
Yeah.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Oh.
That's the sound of a man eating a burrito.
That's the sound of a man
working on the Rios.
He says, hop,
ha,
ha.
Oh my God, guys. John Smith just emailed me that I've given a grant award of $500 million if I reply.
What are you even doing here, Ben? Make sure you give your social security number. How are they going to know where to give you the money?
I'll give it to him now. We're done, right? Is this recording?
It's not recording.
Is it always recording?
It will record as long as you're in the room.
I'm going to let the CD run out.
How much time do we have?
38 seconds.
Okay, ready? Let's sing a song for 30 seconds. Boom ba boom ba boom 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 ba boom 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 boom. A house of pies, a house made totally of pies,
is better than a house of lies.
No, don't you know?
Made entirely of Don Cheadle and dreams. There he goes from the.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Hey, listeners, it's Will Arnett. Our podcast, Smartless, has crossed a milestone that seemed unfathomable when we started nearly 4 years ago, as we've just released our 200th episode. Join us as we welcome the dynamic duo of hilarity, Steve Martin and Martin Short. You've seen them on screen together in The Three Amigos, Father of the Bride 1 and 2, and most recently, and only Murders in the Building. Both are comedic geniuses in their own right, but together they are always electric. And this episode of Smartless is no exception. I don't know if I've laughed more in a single episode than this one. We discuss their career arcs both separately and as a comedy team, how they met, who is more difficult to work with, and what motivates them today. Is Steve a better banjo player than Marty as a singer? Find out on this bicentennial episode of Smartless. Follow Smartless in the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Smartless ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Plus, you get to hear Sean cry. What a loser!